original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sextile to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night. How you all doing? How is your summer going? Are you having fun? Remember, people, don't drink and drive. Even more so, don't text and drive. I mean, hello. Speaking of texting, I'm just letting you all know that I'm on Twitter right now. So tweet me at Max Tucci. We've got a great show for you tonight. I know we promised that we're going to have more chakra sex, but we're going to save that for you because I want to give you all time to digest last week's show. Speaking of last week's show, go to the archives at LA Talk Radio, Max and Friends page there. You can get all 5 years of archives there. People like Lisa Lampanelli, Housewives of Beverly Hills. We've got so many people over there. Y'all check it out. Antoine Dotson, Eva LaRue, Emily Proctor. We've got some great stuff there through the years. Well, tonight we've got a great show for you because we're going to be talking about Buddha and Jesus. Could Solomon be the missing link? We've got author R.E. Sherman coming on the show tonight, and we're going to tackle some questions like Jesus was a perfect example of why, of what any human can achieve, i.e. becoming a guru. So we're going to talk about stuff like that. We're going to also talk about Christianity and Buddhism and Solomon and Jesus and Buddha. We're going to learn about some wonderful things and the differences between Asian Buddhists and American Buddhists and meditation and a whole bunch of stuff. So I want you to sit back, relax, and I got my co-host Tamara Montana with us in just a few. But you know what it is? It's the first Sunday of August. Can y'all believe that? Yes, it is. Or was last week? I don't know. But all I know is that we've got for you the Vedic podcast from Maya Love. Y'all can find her on Facebook because you know what we do there. We're going to give you your Vedic astrological forecast for every sign every first Sunday of the month here on Max and Friends, thanks to my dear friend Maya Love. Namaste to you, and thank you for being here tonight, giving us the scoop on what we need to know about what the month is in store for all 12 astrological signs. So stay tuned because those are coming up, and then right after that, we've got R.E. Sherman here talking about Buddha and Jesus. But Tam and I are going to talk, and we're going to catch up before he joins us. Plus, we've got some great songs by Kim Yarbrough, Give, coming up. We also have Lead Me to the Water by Sharon Agati. So this is just going to be a good show for everyone tonight. I want you to tweet me at Max Tucci. Tell me what's on your mind, people. Tell me what's going on. What's going on? Somebody tell me. Well, what's going on for me is I'm getting ready to go overseas. I'm going on a European tour. I'm doing some cooking things over there, so I'm keeping you posted there. Check me out on ehow.com because there you can see all of my cooking shows that I've been doing on ehow.com. Also, I need you to check me out on about.com because I'm doing my interior design specialties there. So check me out over there. A lot of great things happening, people, and I'm glad that you are with me for the journey. I love you. Without all of you, there would be no me. So thank you for tuning in tonight. Again, tweet me at Max Tucci. I got to say a big thank you to Megan Ellis. She is always on top of it tweeting. So thank you for making people realize that Max and Friends is Sunday night on LA Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Enough talking from me. I want to give you all my love on Max and Friends and your Vedic astrological forecast for August 2012. Sit back, 12 signs, and listen. Write it down. And when we're back, Tamara Montana's with me. Hit it, Ronan.
Hi, everyone. This is Maya from VedicAstroLounge.com on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, bringing you Vedic astrological forecast for August 2012. Vedic astrology helps us to unravel our own karmic tendencies that lead to suffering. With the help of an astrologer, Vedic astrology can serve as a great tool for those of you who are interested in knowing and understanding your karmic tendencies and to break free from suffering. My astrological forecasts are based on your Vedic moon sign. Though it is important to know the impact of planets on individuals based on current temporary transits, it is of great importance to get your own birth chart and natal reading done, because it's your own natal chart that helps to know yourself and to know the nature of your interaction with planets and stars. If you would like a Vedic chart made for you, or if you would like to get a detailed astrological reading with an in-depth analysis of your karmic tendencies, or if you would like guidance with any specific personal situations you are currently experiencing in your life, please feel free to reach me at VedicAstroLounge.com. Here are the planetary positions on the Vedic sky for the month of August 2012. Sun is currently transiting Cancer but moves into Leo on August 16th. Mercury is currently transiting Cancer and moves into Leo on August 28th. Venus is currently transiting Gemini. Mars is currently transiting Virgo and moves into Libra on August 14th. Jupiter is currently transiting Taurus. Rahu, the north node of the moon, is in Scorpio. Ketu, the south node of the moon, is in Taurus. There is also an important celestial event happening in the month of August. Saturn and Mars are conjunct in close degrees in Libra during the second and the third week of August, especially between the 10th and the 20th of August. It is generally thought to be a very difficult transit, but it depends on how exactly we face these energies. Saturn is a planet that disciplines and gives lessons. Through the lessons of life, Saturn helps to break our own limitations and fears and help us to take responsibility for our own life. Whereas Mars is a planet full of raw energy, full of action, self-assertion, and direction. Mars also indicates anger, forcefulness, being impulsive, and it also has a tendency to trigger a lot of accidents. So when these planets come together, the energies created by these two planets have a tendency to trigger fire accidents, air accidents, and many apparent conflicts. It is a time where the world generally experiences a great lesson on a global level that helps to identify our own actions as a human collective that has led to the consequences that we are currently experiencing in this world. It is also a time to learn to let go and avoid ego conflicts. It is important to stay focused on your own actions and goals that will help you to avoid unnecessary ego conflicts. Another major highlight of this month is Saturn's movement from the Vedic sign of Virgo into Libra. Saturn is a major planet and has just entered Libra. Saturn usually stays in each house for about 2.5 years. So Saturn's movement from one house to another is quite significant, as its effects on an individual is felt quite strongly due to its long stay in each house. Saturn becomes exalted in Libra, and it's the house of his friend Venus. Venus is the ruler of Libra, and everything that is related to Venus will generally be tested during this transit. Here is the astrological forecast for the month of August 2012 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, this is your month. Saturn is currently transiting your 7th house. This transit will help you to face some of the issues related to personal relationships and business partnerships in your life. Taurus, this is your month. Saturn is transiting your 6th house. This transit will help you to resolve any health-related issues you may have during this time. Gemini, Saturn is transiting your 5th house, and this transit will help in your self-expression and creative work. It will help remove self-created blocks and learn to express yourself freely. Cancer, Saturn is transiting your 4th house. This phase of Saturn is called Ardhashrama in Sanskrit. This phase represents lessons in letting go and understanding the origin of suffering and embracing the true happiness within. Leo, with the entry of Saturn in your 3rd house in Libra, you have just completed your 7.5 years cycle of Saturn. The next 2.5 years will bring you great happiness in all aspects of your life, so trust in yourself and move ahead with confidence. There is nothing that can stop you now. Virgo, Saturn is in your second house and you're experiencing the third phase of 7.5 year Saturn cycle. It is time for you to put your focus on financial aspects of your life and to release all karmic tendencies related to that, and also focus on your health. Libra, Saturn has just entered your first house and it is the second phase of your 7.5 year Saturn cycle. Though it may make you feel like you would like to withdraw from the activities in the world, Saturn only wants you to face your own fears and anxieties about failure and change your own perception towards the world. Scorpio, Saturn has entered your 12th house, which represents subconscious attitudes. This transit of Saturn will bring you out of hiding and force you to face realities of life and help you to build inner strength. Sagittarius, Saturn is in your 11th house. This will be a beneficial transit in terms of financial gains through friends and extended family. Capricorn, Saturn is in your 10th house, and this will be a period where any insecurities related to work will be tested. It will teach you how to deal with issues related to overwork and delegating responsibilities to others. Aquarius, Saturn has just entered your 9th house, and this will make you to ponder into your own spiritual nature and realize certain truths about yourself and build trust and faith in yourself and others. Pisces, Saturn has just entered your 8th house. This transit will help you to question your own attitudes towards love and intimate relationships and any addictive tendencies that you may have, and help you to regain a healthy outlook towards these aspects. And that brings me to the end of the forecast. Before I leave, I would like to say that every moment is brimming with infinite possibilities. When you wake up every morning, set an intention for the day, for the things that you feel that need to be accomplished. Move through the day, creating the very thing intended by you. Never give room for doubts. Move ahead through the day with an open heart. Create yourself. Embrace the goddess power within you. To live life is to create yourself every moment. Have a beautiful summer, everyone. Namaste.
You speak to all of our listening audience.
Well, you know,
and
what's
how
really
you
interesting?
Speak to oneness.
See, we might have an echo, but you know what's really interesting, Tamara, is that you and I can just pick up from anywhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to have the Chakra Sex Show tonight, and we're not going to have that until next week, but that's just called live radio. You know what I'm saying? So when things are produced, mm-hmm. We got amazing shows coming up. And, you know, I was like, I have to fill in some time with Tamara to talk. I have a big note here, production note, fill in time, talk to Tamara. I'm like, that is so easy for us to do. What's going on, girl?
Oh, my gosh, it is. And, Max, I'm so excited about some of the controversial stuff we get to dive into, because we're bringing things that aren't necessarily talked about, and we're bringing it out into the open. And I love that, Max, that you bring everybody along with you. You know, it's like a magic carpet ride. It's like, jump on, because we're going there.
I'll be Aladdin, you could be Jasmine, and we are going to show you all a whole new world, people. So jump on this magic carpet ride called Max and Friends. But you know what, Tamara? Ooh. We're going to talk about Buddha and Jesus tonight, and could Solomon be the missing link? I'm really interested to find out what R.E. Sherman, author of Buddha and Jesus, a great book. He sold thousands and thousands of copies. He's going to be our guest tonight, and we're going to talk about Buddha and Jesus. But what do you think about Buddha and Jesus?
I love it. I think that, you know what, anybody that's got that avatar, that guru, that leader, that savior, you know, that comes down to this planet to show us the light, to show us who we really are, I think they're probably buds. You know, I think they probably hung out together. I think they're hanging out together right now. I think they're ecstatic that we're even talking about them right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, there's that quote that I always say, as long as you say my name, my spirit shall live. So I believe that, you know, Jesus and Buddha, as long as we say their names, their spirits live every day. But let me tell you, you know, there's a great ashram that I go to here in Florida. Everyone, when I say here in Florida, that's because I'm recording live in Florida right now. The studios are in L.A. Tamara, where are you? You're in Colorado or L.A.? I'm in California now.
I'm in California right
all
now.
Right.
And I'm
so
loving it.
That's how we make things happen with technology. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, there's a great ashram I go to, which is Kashi.org. So check them out. Jaima. My Jaya was the she was our guru. She passed away. We had her last interview here on Max and Friends, which was amazing. I was so honored and thrilled to have my here. She just touched my life, and amazing woman. But her ashram, you see, Tamara and everyone listening, is that they really include and embrace all religions. So there's a station for each religion. And, you know, Ma said that when she saw Jesus, he said to her, teach all ways because all ways are mine. You know, so it's like Buddha, Jesus, Hindu, whatever religion it is. I think when you embrace them all, okay, and love them all, that's when you really find that enlightenment. You know, it's like love is really the key to enlightenment and embracing all religions. What do you think, Tamara?
You know what, Max? I think that we all start out at the bottom of a mountain. And if our goal is to be close to God, the closer you get to the top of the mountain, the more you realize that we're all alike. We're just using different semantics. And, you know, I love this, Max, because who are we to limit the way God shows up?
And who are we to judge?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many forms, there's so many different expressions that a group of people will relate to. And so who are we to limit God in the way he shows up?
Well, you know, what's interesting to me, Tamara, is that, you know, there was always, it wasn't a conflict, but it was like, if there's so many religions out there, right, how can one be right? How can one be wrong? How could groups of millions of people be wrong in their belief? You know, and that growing up, especially in this country where, you know, we're taught, well, you know, America is, it was based upon a Christian country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're taught such, I don't want to say such bizarreness, because I don't think Christianity is bizarre, but we're taught like such narrow-mindedness, I think, that there's only one way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry if I'm offending people tonight, but, you know, that's just how we roll here, because I try to break the truth and make it real, and I say it all in love. And it's like, if there's over 7 billion people in this world, right? That's what we're at about now, according to Time Magazine. How is it that we're wrong in our beliefs? I don't know. What do you think?
You know what? I love this, Max, because whatever form it comes in, I believe that the Son of God, which we are mere reflections of God, when we get the message that we are guiltless and in our innocence, we find our salvation, there's no room for condemnation. There's no room for judgment. What if it is true, Max, that we truly are guiltless? I believe that. I believe that as mere images of God himself, we are that. And when we remember that, we would never harm each other.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't hurt each other. We would
it's
love
the
each
truth.
Other.
Wow. You know, listen, love really is the answer. That, you know, that's really what it is. Whether you're Buddhist or Christian or Hindu, whatever you are, whatever you want to be, just, you know, love one another, people. Love one another. But, you know, Tamara, tell me.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, if you just drown out all the propaganda, anything that you've ever been raised with, notice what resonates with your heart, what makes your heart sing. If you threw out every rule and every doctrine and you just listen to your heart, what is God speaking? What is Spirit speaking from the center of your being? And pay attention to that. What gives you goosebumps?
Yeah, no, listen, you know, I'm a big believer in listening to your heart and intuition and trusting yourself. And, you know, there was an interesting quote that said, if you see Buddha on the road, kill him. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the reason why people say that is because we are the Buddhas. We are the spirit. We are the image of God, you know, and it's really amazing that people don't believe that they are. You know, in God said he made us in perfection, therefore we're perfect and we're able to do greater things than him if we want to get into the Christian aspect of it, you know? And
I believe
that. I believe that we are resources. We can do above and beyond. We just have to believe and we have to do it in love. If you want things to manifest, I really believe that they have to be done in love, you know?
Yes.
So let me tell you, Tamara.
Tell me. You know what's so cool, too, is that the teachers of God are those who choose to be them. And we're always teaching what we most need to learn. That's how we know we're in alignment and on track, because as we teach it, we are gifting ourselves. We are only giving to ourselves. And that's why when you said in the beginning of the show, Max, that without you, there wouldn't be me, you speak to that oneness. We're always depositing into ourselves when we get past the minutiae and look at it from an aerial perspective, that we're all one and that what we do to another, we do to ourselves.
That's right. We're the reflection. Look in the mirror, people. Hey, I got to say hi to Callie. She's listening tonight, and she said love conquers all. And she is right. So, little Callie, thank you for reminding us that love conquers all. And tell your daddy thank you for telling you that. Now, teaching you that, actually. You know what I want to tell everyone? I love, Tamara, that we can go from chakra sex to Jesus and Buddha. But I believe that Jesus and Buddha were some good old-fashioned friends. They done hung out together. You know, smoked a little how you doing together, maybe, who knows? But listen, you know, milked a few goats along the way, had a few, you know, do your thing, Jesus and Buddha. But the thing is that, you know, when I hang with you, Tamara, or when I hang with my friends, that's what I really think Jesus and Buddha represent, all of us hanging with each other, having a good old-fashioned time. And that's what Max and Friends is about tonight. We're going to play a song right now called Lead Me to the Water by Sharon Agassi. And when we're back, we're going to have author of this fabulous book, go get it now on Amazon.com, Buddha and Jesus, Could Solomon Be the Missing Link? By R.E. Sherman. Go to the Facebook page there. Follow them there. Tune in tonight. Get ready, because we're going to talk about some fascinating questions, people. So get ready. This is Life Class on Max and Friends. And now Lead Me to the Water. And when we're back, R.E. Sherman and Tamara. Stay tuned. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in. That was Sharon Agati. The song was called Lead Me to the Water, and I'm glad that Tamara's here tonight because we're leading you all to the water. What is the water, people? Well, being an Aquarius, the water is the life source. I mean, our bodies are, what, like 99% water, Tamara?
Absolutely. And you know, back in the Bible days, they didn't have a word for like energy, and they called it living waters.
Yeah.
So there's something very dynamic and spiritual about that.
Well, that's the truth. And I just got to say thank you to Ronan. You know, Tamara, he is like really the engineer of all engineers. Isn't he just that?
He is. He's our living waters behind the scenes.
He is our living waters behind the scenes. And you know what's really funny, Tamara, is that no matter what, however many times I say, Ronan, thank you, Ronan, this, I get text message or tweets at Max Tucci and people say, who's Ronan? Why do you mention Ronan? We never hear Ronan. Ronan is like the Gelman to Live with Kelly. Ronan, do you have a mic? I don't know if you could say hi or not because people really don't believe that you exist. But Ronan does exist, and I just wanted to say thank you to him. So that's that.
Yes, we love
Ronan. We do. Well, we're gonna do a special Ronan show one day. We're gonna interview Ronan so y'all can know who he is. But anyway, we're talking about Buddha and Jesus tonight. I think it's such a fascinating conversation because it's one that really stirs up people's emotions and anger. And, you know, you get some of those hardcore Christians that don't even want to talk about Buddha in the same sentence with Jesus. And then I think just Buddhists are so zen. They're like, bring it on. Right? So
absolutely.
But the question is, Tamara, could Solomon be the missing link? Now, have you ever heard of this before?
You know what? I haven't, but I am so curious. I can't wait to hear from our guy.
Well, R.E. Sherman, his latest book is Buddha and Jesus, Could Solomon Be the Missing Link? It was published in 2011 and has sold thousands of copies already. And we really have an interesting guest tonight, Tamara. There's other books that he's written. He's worked with an Israeli physicist in examining claims about codes in the Hebrew Bible and authored a book on their findings called The Bible Code Bombshell, which again has sold thousands of copies. And why tens of thousands of copies? And why, you know, this is so vibrant and I think so real, because it's really a topic that I think people are scared to talk about. You know, we're told that there's a couple things we don't talk about, right, Tamara? We don't talk about religion, we don't talk about abortion, and we don't talk about sex. And we talk about those all the time.
All the time. Well,
all the time. Right. So R.E. Sherman is our guest tonight. The book, people, is called Buddha and Jesus. Could Solomon Be the Missing Link? Welcome to Max and Friends, R.E. Sherman. How are you tonight?
Very well. Yourself, sir?
We're doing great. We are just so glad that you're here. Tamara, say hi to R.E.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we are ecstatic. So tell us what brought you to this point. What had you write about Buddha and Jesus?
Well, it all started because I live in a town in southern Oregon, about 20,000 people, and there are about 3,000 Buddhists who live here. I'm personally a follower of Christ, but I have many, many friends who are Buddhists. And about 6 years ago, I decided I was going to start learning a lot about it because I found many of my Buddhist friends to be very wonderful people, and I realized I didn't understand a lot about it. So I kind of went on quite a lengthy research project, read lots of books. But what actually happened was I picked up on the Internet a copy of Buddhist Proverbs. Uh-huh. And when I read those, I had an immediate reaction. It was, I've read most of this before. This is very much like the Proverbs of Solomon. And in fact, I would venture to say that about 80% of Buddhist proverbs are quite similar to Solomon's. And the thing about that is that Solomon lived 400 years before Buddha. And if you take what the Bible history says, there's a quote in there that says, the whole world sought the wisdom of Solomon. And at the time that that was written, the people in Israel knew about India. So when they said the whole world, that included India. Maybe it didn't include China because, you know, people didn't know much about China, but it certainly included India.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, because since we're talking about Buddhism and Christianity, what do you think the biggest similarities between the two are?
Oh, there are some huge similarities and some important ones. First, it's it's altruism. It's putting the other person first, and that's very much common to both in the teachings of Christ and the teaching of Buddha, and that's very important and I think pervasive throughout a lot of the similarities between the two. Mm-hmm. Also, in Christianity we have the verse as one sows, so shall one reap, and it's very much like karma. So there are a lot of similarities there in terms of that, but a lot of the similarities really go back to the common ethics that were set forth in Judaism over 1,000 BC or earlier. So most of those carry through in both Buddhism and Christianity. In my theory as well, I think there's a reason for that. It's because they both were significantly influenced by it. Now, nobody's going to argue that Christianity wasn't, because, after all, Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. But the Buddhism mm-hmm. thing is a little bit more of a stretch. So it took a lot of research to check that one out.
Now, what do you think the biggest differences are between the two?
Well, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can... I think that the whole focus of Buddhism is on meditation and the power of meditation to kind of self-direct remaking of who you are and also trying to live right. So it's kind of a self-help approach and mechanism, whereas in Christianity it's more about a relationship with Christ and interacting with Jesus and trying to submit to his direction and following. And those are quite different, kind of self-help versus God help me type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a significant difference.
Absolutely.
Another difference is that in Buddhism, there are really only a very few that, shall we say, make it. They make it to enlightenment, to nirvana. It's a pretty rare thing. Whereas, at least if you accept what, and I'm trying to give both sides the benefit of the doubt, but Christians will say, salvation is something that's readily available to everyone. So you have this sort of quick thing based on faith, or this very slow self-help process that takes a long time. Now, how long does it take? Well, the Dalai Lama is not yet enlightened. Does that give you a clue? And if you take, at least in the things I've read, it took the Buddha millions and millions of reincarnations to advance to the point where he reached enlightenment.
Well, why does the Dalai Lama promote Buddhism then?
Well, there's definitely a reason for it. And the reason is that he is the leader of the Tibetan country in exile. And to the extent that he can promote Buddhism and make people regard it well, then he's helping his cause of perhaps freeing Tibet sometime in the future, using the help and assistance of people in the Western world and others who are sympathetic to his cause, which is a very noteworthy and appropriate cause. Hmm. But it's not really, his purpose is not really to convert people to Buddhism. And in fact, the Dalai Lama has been quoted as saying, well, I'll just read it. It says, in the West, I do not think it advisable to convert to Buddhism. So he doesn't think it's a good idea to do that for people in the West. And it's because he doesn't think that Westerners, shall we say, do it right.
But then let me ask you a question. Why does Buddhism resonate with so many Westerners?
Well, mm-hmm. part of the theory that I have is, again, these common roots in Judaism of both Buddhism and Christianity. Judaism and Christianity kind of formed the cultural basis of what became Western civilization. And those tie back to, Solomon, to Judaism, and to the extent that there was a lot of influence on Buddha from Solomon, you're going to find a lot of similarities. There are a huge number of similarities between the two. In fact, I spend 100 pages in my book in going over every one of the Buddha's Four Noble Truths and his Eightfold Noble Path steps, and providing things that Solomon said, where he said basically the same thing. So in other words, the whole framework of it can be replicated from Solomon's Proverbs.
Tamara, I know you've got something to say.
you know what I love about what you're saying? And here you are standing in the gap, and you're like a bridge, because I think one of the most similarity things that I see between like Christianity, Buddhism, you know, what God has in store is ending separation, ending the separateness between us and God and us and each other. And whatever form that comes down through, whatever pipelines our spirit leaps to meet that message and bring us back to that space of I am you and you are me. I think I see you standing in the gap, and really you're being a bridge. Like, look, guys, we're not so different.
Yeah, there is, the number of similarities is very large and very sweeping. And yet at the same time, there are some significant differences, as I, you know, I mentioned a few things.
Now, let me ask you, while we're talking about Solomon, because I'm getting tweets from people right now, and they're saying they're a little bit confused. They're not with what we're talking about, but because this is the first time that this has been presented to them. So let's explain to people who exactly was Solomon, R.E.
Oh, right.
Solomon was the king of Israel from about 965 B.C. to 930 B.C., now, Buddha was born in 563 B.C., so you see Solomon was king of Israel, and he was regarded as the wisest man of his time. He collected hundreds of proverbs. There are 600 of them in the Bible. Buddha's proverbs number about 423. But Solomon came up with a lot of these himself, but he also gathered up and collected the wisdom of ancient Egypt, and incorporated a lot of that in, and from Persia and some of these other surrounding nations, and tried to pull all that together and synthesize it into what he presented in his Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes.
So now, how is he the link between Buddha and Jesus? Without ruining the book, because I want people to get the book. But
well,
how is he the missing link?
Here's my hypothesis about the Buddha. He joined the Jain religion, which was a resistance movement against Hinduism, and that was when he was about 30 years old. And the Jain religion focuses on meditation and separating yourself from the world and just meditating indefinitely.
So, but isn't that what prayer is too? Don't we separate ourselves from the world when we go into prayer? It's just another word, no?
Well, they're very similar, but they're a little bit different. Meditation involves taking a mantra or something, a kernel of something, and repeating it a very large number of times. You can pray, and you don't have to repeat yourself, for example.
But don't they do that with the rosary and the 10 Our Fathers and the Hail Marys and so on and so forth?
Oh, yeah, prayers can be repeated, absolutely. But
would you say that Catholic rosary is similar to Buddhist meditation and the Buddhist 108 mantras?
Well, there are some similarities in that there are a lot of repetitions, but the Catholic rosary, I think the number of things that you focus on is fairly tightly defined, whereas in Buddhist meditation, you can pick almost anything as a mantra and use that as the focus of what you're meditating on. It can be your big toe or your navel, or it can be the typical Buddhist mantra words and so forth. So there's a huge range of things, whereas I think the Catholic rosary is a lot more tightly defined and focused.
But then would we say that maybe then the Catholic rosary is just limiting?
Well, that might be with a good purpose, perhaps. I would say, yeah, it is limiting in some sense, but maybe that's a good limiting. I personally don't think that it's a good idea to meditate on negative things, but you could easily do that and call it Buddhism. Now, most Buddhists would say, well, I wouldn't want to do that, but you have the freedom to do that.
Tamara?
Well, one of the things that I've experienced the difference between prayer and meditation, and you can correct me if I'm not saying it correctly, but one of the things I've experienced is that prayer is like talking to God, and meditation to me is listening to God. And there's something so much more profound that comes through when I'm done with my blah, 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 whatever that is. And then when I'm silent, and in that silence, it's almost like the space between the notes of a music, of a song. And when I hear God's voiceless voice, is what I call it, for lack of a better word, when I hear his presence come through, it's me listening. And it is so much more profound than anything I could blah, blah, blah about. And I am, like, in awe. And there is no time frame. It's almost like I can be in that state for, you know, a short period of time, and it seems like it's forever. I can be in there for a very long time, and it seems like it's really short. But it's when I'm listening to God's voice, and it is so sweet and powerful. It's unlike any other voice I've ever heard in my entire life. And it is so loving and so gentle and so comforting that it brings tears to my eyes.
Mm-hmm. But you see, that's a very focused type of meditation, listening. I think prayer can involve both talking to God as well. I mean, after all, true prayer is talking to God, asking for this or that, but it also involves a lot of listening. Now, a lot of people are incomplete in praying. You know, it's certainly true that a lot of people pray and they're just talking to God, and they aren't expecting any sort of response or answer or sense of whether this or that. And that's unfortunate, but I think prayer does include listening. Whereas
I can
meditate on something that, like I say, like my navel or whatever. Well, what's the purpose of that? I mean, one of the purposes of Eastern meditation is to empty the mind, whereas in Western meditation, it's more like we're trying to do guided meditation where we focus on meditating on parts of the scriptures or on the attributes of God or Jesus or, you know, whoever, something very focused like that. And you're kind of channeling and directing your thoughts and your prayers. Whereas meditation is, in a Buddhist sense, is much, much broader. It's more about emptying the mind by repeating a mantra a very large number of times.
Oh, you know what? I got to tell you, because I am such a rebel. I will challenge God. I'm like, okay, God, I'm here, you know, and I'll be silent for a long time. And you know, one of the first things I felt spoke into my heart when I did that challenge, you know, because I really wanted to be about listening. And the very first words I ever heard was, Tamara, I love you.
Mm.
And I said, well, really? Wait a minute. I'm not sure I heard you right. Can you say it again? And it was the most profound and the most sweetest thing. And he said, Tamara, I really, really love you. And I just, goosebumps all over my body. I had never heard anybody speak like that, not from a pulpit, not from my parents, not even from a lover, from a boyfriend, not anywhere. I never heard it so deep and so meaningful and so surreal. In that moment in time, there was nothing else but God's pure love for me. And he challenged me back. He said, Tamara, quit comparing yourself. I've made you uniquely you. And just because you're a sapphire doesn't mean you've got to try to be a diamond or a ruby or an emerald. That every one of my children, every one of my images of me sparkle and reflect the light that they uniquely came here to experience.
There you go.
That was my first message.
very good. Well,
listen.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, what I want to talk about real quick is, because we got to wrap up on time, because that's just how fast it goes here. But I want to ask you a question with the book, Buddha and Judah and Jesus, Could Solomon Be the Missing Link? What evidence do you have for this linkage?
Well, One curious thing is that the first colony of Jews to settle in India did so right about the time that Buddha was born, which is very intriguing. But second, there's this, this strong correlation between Buddha's proverbs, which were the first thing that he wrote, and the Proverbs of Solomon. I did an extensive comparison, taking, over 100 pages and comparing the 600 proverbs of Solomon with the 423 proverbs of Buddha, and the degree and the detail to which they match up is astounding.
Absolutely.
So that. And another thing is that historian Will Durant basically said that in Buddha's day, the people of India were extremely interested in foreign alternatives to Hinduism. There were a lot of people that did not like Hinduism. And so having a colony of Jews move into India and explaining what Judaism is about and the various aspects of it, there were a lot of listening ears that were very curious about this, and it very easily could have been that Buddha's ears were the other one of them.
I want to ask you, since we're talking about India, there's that theory that Jesus went to India sometime between the age of 12 and 30. Do you think that's true or not?
Well, I can't say whether it's true or not, but I can tell you why I'm doubtful. And the reason I'm doubtful is that Jesus was the son of a poor carpenter, and between the ages of 12 and 30, for him, as far as we know, to travel alone for 2,500 miles each way when he had no money, that would be extraordinary. And that's not to say...
Well, with God, all things are possible.
yeah, it's possible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, either that theory or the one I'm presenting, I think have a lot of potential validity. And the point that I'm trying to make in my book is that I think that this approach of looking at the connections with Judaism has a lot more historical meat to it than that alternative theory, which is pretty common on the Internet. And so we can't prove whether one or the other is true, or maybe not, neither of them are true, but there's a lot that we can learn by taking this as a theory and trying to see how far it goes and comparing and contrasting Judaism, Christianity, and Buddhism.
Well, and the book again is called Buddha and Jesus. And I got to tell you, Ari, it's really a challenging book in the sense that it really makes you think, could Solomon be the missing link? And the only way to find out, y'all, is by going to Amazon.com right now, purchasing the book, go to the Facebook page, join it, hit me up on Twitter, @MaxTucci. Tell me what you think of tonight's show. Has it stirred up anything in you all? It has with me. So, R.E., I got to say thank you for being here tonight. We got to wrap up. Tamara, I know you have more questions, but maybe we could do another show about this or continue this on in the future, because it's a great concept.
Gotcha.
But, R.E., thank you for being here tonight and for joining us at Max and Friends.
Very good. I'm happy to be your guest, and would love to come back.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a great night. Tamara, you stay with me because we got to wrap it up. R.E., have a great night, and we're going to talk to you real soon.
Very good. Thank you.
Good night. So, Tamara, you see, we talk about some good stuff here on Max and Friends, don't we?
I love it. I love it, Max. I'm just wondering if he got more criticism since his book came out or more acceptance.
Well, I don't know, but we're going to ask him that question. You know what? I'm going to give you his email. You could write him too. But I don't know. I think that in that conversation somewhere there, I think that if you're going to do meditation, like I meditate and I pray, I do the Madhyaya version of it. I call myself a Jukaboo. Mm-hmm. I'm a Jewish Christian Buddhist, the Jukaboo. So I do my 108 mantras. You know what I'm saying? I do my Our Fathers when I want to. And I just think that, if Buddhism allows us to do many mantras, to move mountains, it's in many different forms, and Christianity gives us a simple basic form, which is the rosary, they're the same thing. So in my perception, they're the same thing. And I think that the most important thing is to love and to give. Don't you think so, Tamara?
Well, absolutely. And to remember that we're all guiltless.
Yeah.
Guiltless. There's no room for that. That it's in our innocence that we find our salvation.
You know what I got to say, too? I think that, when we expect we limit. So expectations lead to limitations, people. And when we plan, God laughs. So just live in the moment, live in the now, enjoy yourself. And what I always tell people is where you are at this exact moment is where you're supposed to be. You're free from the past because it's over, and you're free from the future because it has not happened. So you have now to make the decision for you to think, is Solomon the missing link between Buddha and Jesus? And we're Buddha and Jesus friends. Tamara, I love you for being my co-host tonight. You've got some great shows because I'm going to be out of the country. I'm going to be on my tour. So we're going to hold down the fort here with Tamara Montana, everyone. So tune into the shows there. I got to play a song, Tamara. So I got to go out real quick with the big song from our girl, Kim Yarbrough. Give, people. And if you're going to give, go to unicornchildrensfoundation.org. We've got some wonderful things. We've got actually the Buddha Ball coming up March 16th at Donald Trump's house, Mar-a-Lago. So stay tuned for more of that. All right, my friend Ronan, hit give. And I got a special message for everyone in the middle of the song. Tamara, thanks for being here. I love you. I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Love you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Ronan, hit give. This is my song, Give, and you're listening to I'm Max and Friends here tonight. I'm your host, Max Succi. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Tamara Montana, for being my co-host. Thank you, R.E. Sherman, for being our guest tonight. The book, Buddha and Jesus, was Solomon the Missing Link. Well, people, love one another like God has loved us. Continue to share that love. Continue to give. And Kim Yarbrough, just give. Let us hear some more of that give. And stay tuned, because CBS News is next. Thanks for tuning in, and take life to the max. Give, people, and love.